Hey Chingonas, thank you for listening to part two of White Friends on the new segment of Amigas y Primas. Women that I know, and the fact that I didn't support you in that moment, he felt horrible for it.
I'm sure he did. He has a big heart.
Absolutely. And then we were able to have a conversation mm-hmm. about his stance mm-hmm. as a white male mm-hmm. living in this area, because then I've been told, not just by him but several of our friends that recently think that I don't like white people because of things that I've been posting.
Yeah.
Or they say,
yeah,
you know, even the little girl that I'm mentoring.
Mm-hmm. I love her, by the way.
She is in the high school where me and Mo went to high school, where our husbands went to high school. She lives in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. and she's just brilliant. But she's going through a lot of the same things that we mm-hmm. went through, but much more in her face because of social media, because right. of politics. She's dealing with it and realizing this at a much younger age than
much
we
younger.
Did.
She right. is so much wiser than I ever was at that age.
Oh, and it's so insane. But even she told me one day is that living in a dominant Caucasian neighborhood, she told me, please remember when you're dealing with people in our neighborhood that all people are rude. Don't just chop it up to rude white people. Okay. And when she made that point, I was like, shit, this little girl gets me. Like, she gets in my head. But it was like, it was something that I have heard several of my friends say, and he was one of them that said something similar. And I said, I get it. I said, and I'm trying my best. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I'm trying. Mm-hmm. But it is hard living in this neighborhood and constantly dealing with things my face. And always in the back of my head, I'm thinking, are you treating me this way and being an asshole to me because of what I look like?
And where do you think that comes from? Because you and I live blocks away from each other. And I don't feel that way at all.
Okay, see? Okay, so this is funny because I had this conversation with my husband.
I have felt that way in certain areas, like certain parts of Los Angeles and, you know, wherever. But in my neighborhood, right, like my husband and I chose
to live here.
And right. we looked at a lot of neighborhoods and we kept coming back here because it was comfortable and you know, it just felt right. But I don't feel that way. I mean, I walk into a grocery store, I don't feel like anybody's looking at me. I also have blonde hair. I don't know if that has something to do with it right now. No, all jokes aside. But I am not disregarding how you feel
right.
at all, because that is your own, you know, experience, and I will never take away from that. But my experience being blocks away from you right. is very different.
Right.
So I ask, you know, why is that? Is that that we're not going to the same places?
No, because we are.
Is that because you do have this like agenda and you kind of are always carrying it with you?
Right. I mean, that's something that was pointed out to me by your husband that had said that. And he was like, whoa, okay. So I had this conversation because my husband, who is full-blown Puerto Rican and looks it, him and his mom, which is really weird, him and his mom lived in this neighborhood the last 30-something mm-hmm. years. They don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. So I have a cousin, more of an aunt mm-hmm. figure, and they lived in Linda Vista, mm-hmm. a very, you know, get-down ghetto part mm-hmm. of Linda Vista. And they have recently, in the last year, moved to San Carlos, mm-hmm. right down the street from here. And my aunt had said the same thing that I felt walking into the grocery store, same Albertsons up the mm-hmm. street. So it was weird because, again, she says she felt the way I felt, but yet we're standing next to my mother-in-law and my husband right. who look – just as Latino as we do,
right.
and they don't feel that. I also said, I am the girl that walks around in this neighborhood with I mean, I don't know how other way to put it, but I'm wearing my hat. That's my Union Eagle patch. Mm-hmm. And I have my big hoop earrings. And I'm wearing my red little skirt, mm-hmm. looking like Frida walking into the grocery store. I definitely stand out, like, and I've noticed that.
Right.
And I've even had a friend call me out and say, oh, you do that a little bit more, that you live in this area, than I've noticed before. So, yeah, I've been a little bit more prideful of my heritage, and I haven't been afraid to show it. I've had to realize that if I'm going to take that stance and I'm going to walk into the grocery store looking like that, I am going to get looks, and I am going to do that. I am causing that attention, not even realizing in the beginning that I was doing that.
Right.
Right? And so then I also think, too, for my aunt, being in Linda Vista.
So different.
She looked like every single other person that walked into that grocery store. In here, she recognizes.
Right.
And I think it's us that recognizes it, right?
Right.
She sees, she walks in and goes, oh, not every single person looks like me.
And I think, I mean, you could say that for a lot of places and parts of your life, right? I have a friend at work who's African American, and we were talking, like, we grew up very similar lives, except she went to school in La Jolla because her parents sent her, bused her there, right? And so we always talk about this, you know, how we were brought up and whatnot. And she grew up in Golden Hills, Logan area too.
Okay.
So, like, we have a lot, but she had a lot of Mexican friends. And so we just get along and have a lot in common. Yeah, we vibe. But one of the interesting things that we had, I was telling her how my private school that I went to, my good girlfriends, who just happened to be African American, that's not relevant, but this is why her and I were talking about this, because she grew up with a lot of Mexicans, and I'm like, oh, I was opposite.
You know? Right.
And I was like, yeah, they all lived in Skyline. And she was like, oh my gosh, you would go to Skyline? I'm like, yeah. And I literally realized, she's like, I would never go to Skyline. Do you know how bad it is out there? And I'm like, no, I guess I don't. So
right.
So that's just that perception. It was like, I've been going there as a kid. Like, my parents would drop me off at my friend's house when I was in second grade. Like, I didn't know that Skyline was this terrible neighborhood until I got older. But at that, I was already comfortable, you know, being there. And it actually just made me think of this story right now. I totally forgot. But I was in middle school with two of my friends. And my mom locked her keys inside her car at Mission Valley. And Mission Valley is not that far from Malley Gardens, right? And she said, well, get on the bus, bring me my spare key. Like, okay, I'd never been on a bus, right? Like, my parents, I lived a pretty sheltered life. Like, they drove me, or my grandma drove me. Like, I was never on a bus. So, and neither were the two friends that I happened to be with. So we got lost on the bus. But where we ended up, I realized, oh, I'm like a block away from my grandma. Let's get off here, because I can go, my dad's mom, right? So I'm like, because we can at least go to my grandma's house and call, use a phone. This before cell phones, right? And I remember how terrified they were to exit that bus. One, probably because they just had never been in that part of San Diego.
Right.
But two, because it's a very obviously lower class neighborhood. I mean, there's graffiti everywhere, and you're by the freeway.
It was culture shock for them.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, I don't understand why you're scared. Because it's my grandparents' house. It was there every weekend. Like, there was nothing to be scared of. And I'll never forget, like, they didn't even want to go inside the house. Like, they were just that terrified. And I called, and I remember, I don't know what happened, how my mom ended up getting her key and got us. But it just makes me think of that, right? Like, everybody's perception and experience is so different. And even us being just blocks away from each other. So I do think some of it, you know, is maybe, like you said, you have your bag and your hat and your, maybe it's just drawing attention to you. And maybe people don't even realize what any of that means, but they're just staring at you.
Right.
Right. So maybe there's not even anything more to it. Or maybe there is.
Right. And I do believe it is situation by situation, because then again, I have been in straight situations where it was so obvious the reason the person was treating me like that was because I was brown. They were white.
Right.
We're walking in and out of the same 7-Eleven in the same neighborhood. Like, no need to be a bitch like that to me. Like, there's been clear things, but it's been so hard for me to let go of those things. And I think to retaliate in my way, that's when I was like, you know what? I'm going to start blasting my Mexican music down the street when I'm going by this high school. Like, and I have taken that, and I have to learn to take responsibility for that. Just like I've learned to going to the event that we went to up in Vista, where I knew the clientele that would be walking into that event were going to be 90-95% Caucasian. I walked in with my Nike shirt. I was also told, hey, I noticed you came into my establishment with your Nike shirt after all this stuff happened. And I looked at them and said, I'm not trying to make a political statement. That's bullshit. Obviously, were, I was. Right? But I have to, those are the moments that I have to start owning as myself, as a Latina in these predicaments. I have to start owning what I put out there and what I'm going to get back.
And I think people will respect that more. If you may not always be well received, right?
Right.
But that goes for anything that you're doing.
Shit, that's why I'm doing this, right?
But what I've noticed is just the moments where, you know, you're stuck in an elevator with somebody for a few minutes or whatever, and, you know, they start talking about certain things, is you just have to learn from all of those moments.
Right.
And it's okay to be true to yourself. It's okay to have a political agenda. All of that's totally fine. But you have to think about your strategy at all times, right? If
right.
this is an audience that you're trying to reach, is walking in with that Nike shirt the best approach, right? And that's all it is. It's not to say don't ever wear that Nike shirt. It's to say bring it out when the time is right, when they've built your trust, when they respect you, when they know who you are, when they know you're a good person, because then that conversation changes. And that's what I try to do and think of, right? That's
right.
Not to say I'm always 100%.
Exactly.
That way, because anyone knows, like, the ghetto can come out of me very quickly. And I don't even like that term, honestly. I've told myself to stop using it.
I know. I need to find a different way to describe
exactly.
that. Like, especially when I'm talking about the neighborhood that I'm from, or like where, like, I need to find a word. So if you guys know of a word that I can use instead of ghetto, please send me a message and let me know what that is.
I know. It's hard. It's hard to break these habits. I also think, you know, when I tell people, if it comes up in conversation when you're talking just about ghetto and like where you grew up, and I tell them, like, oh, you know, I grew up in Golden Hills, like Logan neighborhood, they see what that is now, right? And they're like, oh, cool.
Right.
And I'm like, no.
you know, wait a second. Back in the 80s and 90s, that was not so cool.
Right? Like, you had to be in by a certain time. Like,
right. Street lights out,
yes,
like your ass is inside.
Like, that's not how it was, you know? And I told that story of, like, I know there was a crack house down the street because we walked by it many times. And, like, you know, these are just things that you knew about the neighborhood, and you had boundaries and whatnot. And but it's not to say that's what it's like now, because I
right.
think people have a hard time seeing that.
Putting that,
yeah,
right.
When you're talking about that. And so they're like, oh, okay, cool. Or like, where are your grandparents from? And I tell them, they're like, oh, yeah. You know, I have friends that just bought there. And I'm like, really? Because nobody
no,
was
what?
By the cemetery. Like,
who was buying there? What?
No, but it's also perception. Like,
right.
That just goes back to they see it now a certain way, where I'm over here like, no, that's not how, you know. So it's all perception. Perception is something that I think can be very detrimental to a cause.
A lot of things,
yeah,
right.
to a lot
right.
of things. So that's
I mean, I'm learning through this too. Like,
right.
I'm learning when I need to, you know, kind of tone that shit down and
right.
to get my message across and so that people listen. And I do believe, though, Mo, is that being raised in these neighborhoods and then going into a different neighborhood and then spending a lot of our adolescence was
mm-hmm.
in these neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
I do feel that now as an adult, I'm able to speak on different sides
mm-hmm.
and be kind of a middle person. So with that, I have felt a big responsibility to hold these conversations with people that normally wouldn't listen to someone like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's a gift. I really do. I think being able to sit down and have a conversation, being able to sit down in a dinner table full of Caucasians and have hard racial conversations is a gift that I'm able to do. So that's why part of this, like doing podcasting and stuff, is like just giving that outlet to being able to throw all kinds of different sides in there.
And I think something that can help that is it's not just Caucasians, right? Like, that's not your only audience that you're trying to reach.
Right.
It's everybody. It's anybody that's willing to listen.
Right.
And I think that's just a small change. My recommendation, you don't have to take it, but that I think would help you is, like, you do talk a lot about white, Caucasian, and then just Hispanic or Mexican, right? But that, I know you, and that's not your
only... much broader than that,
it
right?
It is. It's so much broader than that. So just even making, like, adjusting, that's what I call it, right? Just adjust that, and I do think you'll reach
More people. Focusing, it is, too, where I put that.
It is, and it's hard because it is what you grew up with. It is, you know... I totally understand all of that, but not everybody understands that. And so it's almost like this. You have to make them fall in love, right? You got to wine and dine them. And then you can start having those hard conversations. It's a relationship.
So it's like what I did with my husband, right? Okay. Like wine and dine and then show him all the crazy throughout the years that comes after that.
But I mean,
like, oh, you're in love now? Let me show you that crazy.
I mean, give a disclaimer, you know? Like, I always told my husband, like, I'm crazy, you know? He's like, no, I believe you. I was like, no. I'm just telling you.
I mean, I think they knew we were crazy. They just didn't understand what that actually meant.
And I don't think we understand. I think that changes, you know?
I'm surprised myself with my crazy, the craziness that comes out.
Surprisingly, I've toned down my crazy, and I still think it's a lot. But
I think I'm getting crazier as I get older. I don't know what's going on here. But, I mean, to, you know, wrap this up and bring this all to an end and stuff, Mo, like, what would you say to the people that are living in these similar situations? You have advice to give somebody?
I would say you're not the only one, and I know you hear this all the time.
Right.
But that is true. You know, your Hermanita is a perfect example that I listened to her tell a story where she said, like, she didn't feel she could relate to us, you know, everyone else that was there telling their story. And I'm sitting there going, no, I'm relating to you. I'm telling you, I was you, except you're much more mature than I was at that age. So you have a better... So I just think that is, like, you're not alone. There are a lot of people that struggle with identity and who they are.
Right. That's what it comes down to, is identity.
And who they are politically and who they are spiritually. I mean, any category, right? I always think there's a little bit of a struggle with that. And my best advice, and you know this because we both graduated from the Latina Success Leadership Program, is really getting down to your core values.
Right.
What are the things that you value the most? Why do you value them? And just exploring that and really getting in touch with that, being able to articulate that, and then testing it. That's the advice I give. Test it. I don't know where I was when this happened, and it's a little bit off subject, but someone was talking to us at work at the retreat or training, I can't recall, it was a few years ago, but they're talking about deal breakers, right? Like, what would make you quit your job? And so they're making everyone go around the room. Like, you know, someone's like, oh, if I couldn't work from home. And so the keynote speaker was like, okay, so your boss is going to come in, offer you $1 million, but you can't work from home. You're going to quit. And they're like, no, right? So the speaker's like, then that's not your deal breaker. Like, think about that. What is your deal breaker? So it really got people thinking, right? And then eventually someone's like, you know, my deal breaker is if someone's going to have favorites and they're not going to give me a fair chance. And she's like, okay, so I'm coming in. I'm going to offer you $2 million, but you're never going to get promoted. I'm going to keep my two favorites over here. And they were like, no, I'll quit right then and there. And she's like, okay. That's your deal breaker. Right, that's your deal breaker. So it almost goes back to that. You have these values. Test them. Are they really your values? And that's okay. Like, if you find out, oh, maybe this one's not, but this one really is. Because the more you know yourself, just the easier it gets to navigate through life.
Right. And I really do think what we said when we talked about before we started recording was age has brought us to be much more comfortable with voicing these kind of things. I think the more I get to know myself as a woman, the more I'm kind of just understanding my identity. Mm-hmm. And that is for everything. That's culturally, that's mm-hmm. professionally, that's mentally, physically, all these things right. that add up to it. And I think that has shown a lot, like through our growth and stuff as just women of mm-hmm. what we're willing to share and talk sure. about and tackle.
Yeah. For me, it's age, it's education. You know, anyone that knows me, I'm always taking a class or reading yeah. a book, or, you know, I just never stop learning because I don't feel like I know even a quarter of the information that's out there in this world, you know? So I will absorb as much as I can. And that obviously has an impact. And so the more I know, the less I know kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think my children are a big part of why I am a certain way today that maybe I wasn't 10 years ago, or maybe I didn't know existed 10 years ago, you know? So there's a lot of things. My husband is a big part of that. You know, he's an extremely bright guy, and we talk a lot about certain things, and there are certain views that he's, you know, just giving me his opinion on. I can see it that way from a male perspective.
Right. I mean, he's got my wheels turning. I mean, he makes comments all the time. I'm like, damn it, I really need to think about what he just said.
You know why? Because he is so rational and logical, and I don't have that. I feel like that part of my brain doesn't exist.
I think that's something both of our husbands clearly share.
Clearly. Which we are thankful that we have them in our lives, because who knows what we'd be doing if we didn't have that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's my advice. It's a lot of advice. It was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of it's just like just that growth and going back to that identity thing is, if you keep growing, you keep learning, you're going to learn more about yourself. I mean, I'll tell you, just by starting this podcast, I've learned so much about my stance and my views and what you were seeing, perception mm-hmm. on things. I'm learning that,
it's a big factor. As much as you don't want it to be, and I know we all want to say, I am who I am, take it or leave it.
Right.
Yes, yeah, sounds great. Not many people can pull that off, right? There's a certain level of work that you have to put in to be able to do that. And I'll use our good friend as an example. I won't name his name, but he can push comments very far and out of the box, and he can be vulgar and whatnot. But he worked really hard to be able to get away with that, right? And so that's why even new people who perceive him a certain way, once they get to see him a couple times, like, they quickly get over it because he's established that. Where if I try to be that way, I probably won't pull that off, right? Because I just haven't, the perception of me is very different.
Right.
And I think with age, or maybe it's experience, I'm not sure, right? Because you could have the same amount of experiences by the age 20 and they'll shape you, or you have them by age 30 and they shape you. So I'm not really sure which one comes first. But even for me with experiences, like, those have really helped me accept people's perception of me. And then it's up to me whether I want to change that or not.
Right. You know? Are you comfortable with people perceiving you in a certain way?
I've had some things in the last, 5 years, especially with other females, that really did shake me, because I thought, I don't want to be perceived that way. You know, I'm really not a shit talker. Like, I am a people pleaser. I do like people to be happy. But if somebody's doing something wrong, you know, like talking about one of my friends poorly, I will stand up for them, you know? So there was this incident, this perception where that wasn't coming across, and that really, really got to me. And so perception does, it matters, you know, whether you want it to or not.
Right. How do you want people to take you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And only you can change that. If you don't like how people are seeing you, only you can do something about it to change that.
Exactly.
And try.
Exactly.
So I think that was a good first rap mo for our first Migas y Primas, right? That is a wrap. Chingonas, keep those fists up. Peace out.